section here on GabNet. Well, it's Friday night, and we had some interesting developments that happened today. Turns out that the DA, that Jeanine Pirro and the Justice Department dismissed the charges, or requested to dismiss the charges, against that Olympic bicycler that touched the blue lining, and they were going to charge him with thousands of dollars worth of damage. But they had to admit that turns out they, you know, the administration just gave a no-bid contract to a shyster who did shoddy work, and it was already coming up a day after it was put down. Because they didn't know what they were doing, and they did it cheaply, and they're having to redo it all anyway, and so there you go. So the administration had to admit to that, and that happened, and well, I'm glad we're not going to prosecute our Olympic cyclists. I think enough people made a big enough stink that, well, they realized that shit wasn't going to fly. And so here we are. What else has happened? I don't know. I've been watching lots of reaction videos to movies that I love. I watched one to Practical Magic. And the thing I remember most about Practical Magic, it's kind of a cute movie, it's kind of a fun movie, is the soundtrack. It has the best soundtrack. It really, really does. It's got Landslide. It's got Coconut. Stevie Nicks. Landslide. It's got This Kiss. I think it's got two versions of it, and I can't remember who sings that. It's got Joni Mitchell. I believe it's got You Turn Me On, I'm a Radio, which is a fun song. You know what? Let me look this up because I'm going to get it wrong. Alan Silvestri did the theme music. But let's just look at a Practical Magic soundtrack. All right, let's see. Faith Hill, This Kiss. It's got Nick Drake, Black Dog. Oh, I was wrong. It is not You Turn Me On Radio. It's Joni Mitchell's A Case of You, which Nick and Lex reactors did a reaction to that one. And it was the first time that Nick had listened to any Joni Mitchell. Alex was already a fan, as was her mother. And Nick just, he had tears in his eyes. It was so cute. And he reached over and took Alex's hand, and it was just so sweet. It was a sweet moment. But yeah, it's good. It's just got the greatest soundtrack. I had this on CD, and I used to listen to it in the car all the time. All the time. Loved it. It's got Stevie Nicks singing Crystal. It's got Elvis Presley, Always on My Mind. Brand Van 3000 Everywhere. Stevie Nicks, If You Ever Did Believe. Oh, Marvin Gaye, Gotta Give It Up. Is This Real, Lisa Hall. Michelle Lewis, Nowhere and Everywhere. You know, I didn't know who most of it. I knew who Stevie Nicks was and Faith Hill and Joni Mitchell and Harry Nilsson. I knew all of them before I got the CD. And, of course, Elvis Presley. But I didn't know who... I knew who Marvin Gaye was. I didn't know who Michelle Lewis was. I didn't know Lisa Hall or Brand Van 3000 or Nick Drake. Or Michael Nyman. Yeah, I didn't know them before I got the album. But now I do. And all that stuff is great as well. It's just a spectacular soundtrack. Now I'm wondering, you know, over the years I got a few soundtracks. And I grew up with certain soundtracks to movie musicals and stuff. So I'm wondering, what soundtracks do you have or did you have? What's some of your favorite soundtracks? What's your favorite? I tell you another one. I watched a reaction to Gross Point Blank, and that's another one that's got a great soundtrack. And it's one of these that, you know, I actually graduated high school in the 80s. So I remember when all these songs were on the radio. And if I'm being really honest, I didn't like most of them when they were on the radio. But now, it's just absolutely super fun. For example... The soundtrack opens with the Violet Femmes and Blister in the Sun, which is so good. And then there's a 2000 version that it ends the soundtrack with. It's Blister 2000 by the Violet Femmes. So a newer version. It's not an 80s version. It's a 2000 version, which by now is 26 years old. God, that makes me feel old. The new one is 26 years old. Two and a half decades old. That's depressing. Well, if you want to join this conversation, all you got to do is go to gabnet.net. That's gabnet.net. And click on the link that says Amy Manuel's Intersection. You join the conversation here. And we can have a little fun. We can talk about these things. But let's look at some of the other songs on this Gross Point Blank soundtrack. We've got The Clash. Yes, The Clash with Rudy Can't Fall. You got The Beat with Mirror in the Bathroom. You've got David Bowie with Queen singing Under Pressure. How fun is that? You got Johnny Nash singing I Can See Clearly Now. Ooh, you've got the Guns N' Roses version of Live and Let Die. Not the Wings version, not the original, but the Guns N' Roses remake. And this is one of those few where I kind of like the cover better. I don't know. The original's pretty damn good. The original, I mean, it was made for a Bond film. It's Sir Paul McCartney with Wings. You've got Faith No More with We Care A Lot. And some of these bands. Another Clash song on the album is Armageddon Time. Oh, Pete Townsend, Let My Love Open the Door. You've got The Jam with Absolute Beginners and The Specials with Pressure Drop. Just a really fun soundtrack. So what, you're thinking back, and you've Maybe you've had soundtracks for this movie or that. What about the Blues Brothers? Ooh, I had both. I had the soundtrack for the original Blues Brothers movie, and then I got the soundtrack to the Blues Brothers 2000. And my kids loved the Blues Brothers 2000. And, of course, my Jewish kids, their favorite song on that soundtrack was John the Revelator. But, oh, well. Such is life. And but another great one, The Big Chill. I had that soundtrack. Another movie that came out in the 80s, and that was a really good soundtrack. Not as good as Blues Brothers, the original Blues Brothers. I mean, think about who all was in that movie. You've got Aretha Franklin singing Think. You've got James Brown, you've got Ray Charles, you've got Cab Calloway, and then you've got the Blues Brothers themselves with the Blues Brothers Band, which is pretty damn good too. And it's fun to watch people react to it. A lot of folks don't catch, and you'll see. You can learn a lot from reading the comments on these videos. But, for example, at the beginning of the movie is Frank Oz. And the guy who takes the tax money and gives him the receipt, that's Steven Spielberg. You know, the first one to jump on the tables is Joe Walsh. In the Jailhouse Rock scene. Oh, here comes Alan. Hello, Alan.
Hello, Amy. What is this with everybody coming in late, including me?
I don't know. But y'all are getting later every night.
I know.
I've been sitting here talking about soundtracks to movies that I had that I had. Two of them that I just watched a bunch of reactions to. One was the movie Practical Magic, which had a really good soundtrack, and Gross Point Blank had a really good soundtrack. Both are really fun movies, too.
I've seen Point Blank.
You've seen Gross Point Blank?
No, just Point Blank.
That's a different movie.
Okay, sorry.
Gross Point Blank has John Cusack is a professional killer. And he's got a job that he's been hired for that is in the same town on the same weekend as his 10-year high school reunion. And in it is Dan Aykroyd, who is trying to start a union amongst professional killers. And you got Hank Azaria plays a government guy that's following Blank, which is John Cusack. And then you've got Joan Cusack is running the office for him. And she is just hilarious in every scene. Minnie Driver plays his prom date that he left. He didn't pick her up for the prom. He made a date with her. And then he joined the army and became a professional killer instead. He hadn't seen her in 10 years. It is so much fun. I can't tell you. The place where his childhood home was a convenience store, and another hired killer follows him, and they shoot up the place, and then the guy that's trying to kill Blank, John Cusack, puts a bomb in the microwave and blows the place up.
Cool.
Yeah.
Just what you want to do, go to 7-Eleven with your cold burrito, put it They hit the buttons on the microwave and the place blows up.
Well, he gets out of there. The only person that dies in the movie is the guy that was hired to kill John Cusack. And then John Cusack does end up killing Dan Aykroyd. And Dan Aykroyd kills us. A lot of the bad guys get killed. Except for John Cusack.
How come this doesn't work in politics?
I don't know. Did you see about them dismissing the charges against that Olympic cyclist?
Yeah, how stupid. He ought to sue them for defamation of character.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there are plenty of attorneys that would love to.
Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet they're contacting him left, right, and center.
Well, he already had, you know, a lot of really good attorneys representing him. But what happened was that they demanded, because of another case where they demanded to see what went on in the grand jury, and there it exposed all this corrupt, all these corrupt practices of the Justice Department in another case, when they asked to see that stuff and the judge had granted it, that was when the Justice Department had to back out, because they knew those clowns that, you know, your first year law students probably, you know, they don't have anybody qualified anymore. They got rid of everybody that was qualified. You know, I mean, they're just out of law school. These clowns did all kinds of things that were inappropriate. And they knew that was all going to come out.
That's not funny.
No, it's not.
I mean, I'm trying to twist the clown thing in there, but no, it's sad.
Yeah. The thing that makes this Trump administration so much worse than the last is that anybody that had any competence in what they were doing has been removed, because they don't believe in government, and so they can't govern.
Right.
They don't believe in competency, and so they're incompetent.
Yes.
And a lot of this stuff is really, really important.
Absolutely.
Especially you in the health department. And
well, so we got professionals like RFK Jr.
Right. Well, no better than him, really, is Dr. Oz, because, you know, they're taking away Medicaid from sick people. And they're saying, you got cancer, you got to work.
Yeah, I wonder how Medi-Cal is going to work. My roommate may need it soon, and he may not be able to get it because of this stuff.
Well, fortunately,
Medi-Cal is California. Gets money from Medicaid.
Yeah,
but I think it's a separate entity.
It absolutely is. I, however, am in Texas. You know, my family is all in.
Well, if you ever need it and can't get it, we'll switch your address to my address.
I'm not so much worried about me, but I am worried about my mother-in-law and my husband's aunt.
Have they already turned your mother-in-law down?
Well, she's on Medicare. I don't know if she's on Medicaid. I don't know what all she's any issues she might have. But things like, you know, my late father-in-law, he had home health, and that's mm-hmm. one of the things that they were defunding. Mm-hmm. And it's just infuriating. It really is. That they don't seem to care, and they don't seem to understand how important all these things are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, where is everybody? It's 11:20, and it's just you and me.
I know. I don't know.
Well, did you, back on the subject of soundtracks, do you or did you ever, like, grow up listening to a soundtrack to a movie or a show?
Grow up listening to one? I don't know. I didn't go to a lot of shows, so whatever I heard on the radio was, who knows?
No, I mean, like, we had the soundtracks to a lot of movie musicals when I was a kid.
Oh, I see what you mean.
But, you know, as an adult, I had the soundtrack for The Big Chill. I had Grosh Point Blank. I had Practical Magic. I had the Blues Brothers and the Blues Brothers 2000 soundtrack. Hair is another one I had.
Yeah.
Did you have any of those?
Uh-uh.
In your record collection?
Record collection, no.
You never had a record collection or a cassette collection or a CD collection?
Uh-uh.
None at all.
Nothing.
That seems strange for somebody, or, you know.
Well, I'm a strange guy, you know. So.
For almost everybody I know. What's interesting was that, like, all of my friends and boyfriends and whatnot, they all had one artist that they were just over the top about.
Uh-huh.
So I had my friend Vicky, who turned out to be a distant cousin, or a relative of a relative kind of cousin.
Uh-huh.
Mishbucha, as we say. She was a Beatle maniac. She had everything Beatles. Absolutely everything Beatles. She had a Beatles trivia game, and we were, one summer in Austin, we were roommates, and she wanted me to play Beatles trivia, and I'm like, you win. Why
yeah.
bother to play? You absolutely win.
Yeah, okay.
And I had a boyfriend that was really into Frank Zappa.
Uh-huh.
I had another friend that was Grateful Dead to the point of was a deadhead following the band around selling crystals. I had another, what else? But everybody I knew. Oh, I had a high school sweetheart who was really big into Queen.
Yeah.
But, you know, my thing was Joni Mitchell. I was really into Joni Mitchell. I liked a bunch of other stuff. I liked Queen. I liked the Eagles. I liked a bunch. I liked all those other things. I liked the Beatles.
I wouldn't have known, as we've proven here and on Jack's show, I wouldn't have known who sung what. If I liked the song, I liked the song. Mm-hmm. It was pretty rare that I knew who the artist was. I know Neil Diamond, I knew the Doors, you know, a few other artists, and I knew their songs, but that was it. I really didn't pay that close of attention. There was no interest in it, still isn't. You know, if I like the song, I like the song. If I don't like it, I don't. I don't really care who sings it.
I remember when I got the movie for Practical Magic, They kind of promoted the soundtrack at the beginning of the movie, and I'm like, oh, I like all of that.
and I went out
and got the soundtrack. Wayne has joined us. Wayne, we're talking about soundtracks. Do you have any soundtracks or
That's a good question. I can't think of... I would have to page through all the albums I got just to see. I none of them come to mind right now, but I might. I don't know.
I had Hair. I had the Blues Brothers movie and the Blues Brothers 2000 and Gross Point Blank and Practical Magic and The Big Chill at one point. You didn't have any of those?
No.
Or Fame. I think I might have had Fame at one point, too. Because I liked all the music in those movies.
Uh-huh.
Do you ever remember, like, listening to watching a movie and thinking, man, I really like this music? And
well, I mean, yeah, there's probably a few of those. I can't think of anything that none of them come to mind that I really wanted. But, you know, I've got more or less, you know, those discounted CDs and, you know, the, as far as albums, you know, vinyl, you know, like the best of a group or whatever, you know.
So what groups do you have best of for?
Let's see, I got, I think I got something from The Who, Three Dog Night, Chicago. I think I got an Aerosmith. That would be the most recent band that I purchased at all, you know. There's only one song I like. Well, they're all pretty good, but I like, I think it's called Crying, you know, by Aerosmith. That's
I love that favorite. Three Dog Night.
Oh, they're good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun one because there's so many good songs on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those guys could sing.
Uh-huh.
Two of them passed away. There's only Danny left. And he still performs. And I've seen some recent YouTube videos of what they call Three Dog Night these days.
What was your favorite Three Dog Night song?
Try a Little Tenderness was good. Celebrate. Those two just kind of stand out.
I have to say it's I think it's got to be what is this? Why is this? This is annoying. My favorite is Mama Told Me Not to Come.
Okay.
And then Joy to the World.
Oh, yeah, Joy to the World is, everybody knows that song as soon as it starts, yeah.
Yep. And I guess there's one more that I'm trying to think of, and it's just slipping my mind. It's not black and white.
Black and White's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Some of those songs, you know, sometimes I try and sing with the song, whatever, but I can't hit those highs anymore these days.
Old Fashioned Love Song is fun.
Okay.
Shambhala, that's another good one.
Yeah, yeah, the harmonies in there, yeah.
But it's still, it's Mama Told Me Not to Come.
Okay.
What's the other one? Never Eli's Been the Coming. Same. That's the one I'm trying to think
of. Yeah, that one I don't play. I know I've got it on, in this case, I think it's a DVD. No, on a CD.
I've got a CD that's the complete hit singles.
Okay.
And then, yeah. And it's on there. And I remember Trump in his first term kept referring to Israel when he was in front of Republican Jews, or for holiday greetings, kept referring to Israel as being our country. Which caused me to write a parody to Never Been to Spain. Well, I've never been to Israel, but Trump tells me I was born there. Pretty sure that it was Texas, and to me that really matters. And I learned to play it on guitar just because I was so annoyed. I'm like, I'm not Israeli, and I've never even been there. That's not my country. This is my country. Because we love your president. You're my president, and I don't love you at all. Go away.
Yep.
And I don't love Israel's president either. He's terrible.
Yeah. He's terrible, right?
Anyway, so yeah, that's a good one. Those are all good. Aerosmith. I think David had an Aerosmith's greatest hits.
But Crying is my favorite now. That's Steve. What is his name? Steven Tyler, I think, is the lead singer for that group. Yeah, you know, he's one of those screamer singers, but man, he is pitch perfect on the notes he's got to hit.
Right.
He is right on it, you know.
That's
surprising.
I think that's a good song. I dated a guy that was a big Aerosmith fan when I was in high school.
Back in the day when that song was popular, I was working for one of the copy machine outfits near downtown Cleveland. And, sometimes, 4, 5, 6 of us would get together and go down into the flats at, I forget, BW3, I think. I forget what it was called now, the joint. But one of the guys would always start, put that money in the jukebox to play that song. And I swear, whenever that song came up, whoever was behind the bar turned the volume up on that, because it really kind of shook the place when that song came on. That was back in my drinking days.
Yeah. I've always liked Stevie Wonder.
I never really got into him.
Well, when I was little, I really liked the song Sir Duke. And then after the 2008 convention, when I saw him live, I realized that there were a lot of Stevie Wonder songs that I liked. And so I got the complete Stevie Wonder or something like that. I got a couple of a 2 CD set, and then another one. And it turns out there are a whole bunch of Stevie Wonder songs that I really like. And it's not just that. That I really like. I like Wish. I Wish. And I like I can't even think of them. Stevie Wonder. What all? Isn't She Lovely? Superstition is another great one. As is another great one. Overjoyed is another great one. I Cannot Stand, I Just Called to Say I Love You. To me, that one sounds like what you can play with one finger on a fun machine. It doesn't even sound like it came from the same artist that gave us, Sir Duke and Superstition. Yeah, isn't she lovely? And My Sharia Moore and Overjoyed and I Wish and As and Part Time Lover and You Were the Sunshine of My Life and Science Field Deliver and you know all of those songs. And then you've got I Just Called to Say I Love You. I'm like, oh, Higher Ground. There's another great one. And I just like, how? Why? What happened? The 80s killed Stevie Wonder. Everything he did in the 80s just sucked. But, yeah, I've got a bunch of greatest hits. Eagles. ZZ Top. I had Eagles and ZZ Top greatest hits. What I had was Hell Freezes Over, which was pretty much a greatest hits.
Okay. I got a stack of LPs, probably about maybe a foot deep. That's about all I got.
Yeah. Well, we got rid of...
I pulled a couple of them, you know, since my entertainment center does have a turntable on it. I pulled a few of them out of that stack just to have closer to the entertainment center there.
That's the 7-inch or the 12-inch turntable?
12. It's for LPs, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So here's what I got here. Procol Harum, Grand Hotel.
There you go.
The best of Procol Harum.
There you go. Another best of?
Procol Harum Live with the Edmund Symphony Orchestra.
Well, you must like this person. I've never heard of him.
A Salty
Harum,
Dog.
Procol Harum is best known for Watershade of Pale.
Right, right. A Salty Dog, that's good.
Maybe you can play that later.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Two versions of, one's a digital recording, and one is supposed to be a half-speed master of 1812 Overture.
Okay.
Go back to the protest song. Is it Chambers Brothers? Time Has Come Today. And then I got four of them here from Vangelis. He's the guy that chariots the fire.
Oh, Vangelis. Oh, I love Vangelis.
Is that how it's pronounced? Okay.
Yeah,
Vangelis. I never heard anybody say it.
Yeah, I had an album or two or a cassette that was Vangelis, and I think my sister Rachel turned me on to Vangelis.
Yeah. Do you remember Carl Sagan's program at Cosmos?
Yes, I do.
You remember the music on the outro?
Not really.
Basically, just kind of going back and forth between two chords. That's on this album, Vangelis, so Heaven
Vangelis.
And Hell.
Vangelis.
Vangelis, yeah. For years, I've just been saying Vangelis, because I never heard anybody say the name of that character.
No, I hadn't even thought about Vangelis in ages, but now that you bring it up, Vangelis was great.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go look it up and listen to some Vangelis now.
Yeah. And I got one DVD as far as, come to think of it, soundtrack. I have one, and it was a double CD of, I'm not sure how you, it's the guy who did the Miami Vice theme.
Glenn Frey?
No, the guy who did the music.
Dan Michael? No.
No. His name is, I don't know if it's pronounced Jan or Jan. It's J-A-N. I think his last name is Hammer. I'm not real sure. I have to go find the CD of that again. But he's the one that does the Miami Vice theme.
I thought that was Glenn Frey.
No.
The Heat Is On.
No. From Miami Vice.
Yeah.
The TV show.
Yeah.
Theme.
Glenn Frey.
Nah. He may have, no, I guess it's just a double.
No, I think Wayne's right, and I think it's not Glenn Frey. I have the whole series on DVD.
Yeah. You know, the lead-in music, the theme music for Miami Vice, that's on the, you know, there's two versions. There's that one, which is a 1-minute duration, you know, song. It's clipped down to just 1 minute, but the full one runs about 2 to 3 minutes long. without any cuts to it.
I
Same
thought
theme.
The Heat Is On was the...
No. No.
What
I
was
don't even
that
think that.
From?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right, let's just Google search it.
Theme song.
It was a theme song to something. Beverly Hills Cop.
Ah.
That's a different
Jan
cop
Hammer.
Show. It
Jan
was a
Hammer,
different...
yeah.
Yeah, Jan Hammer. I just Googled it.
Somebody told me that it was Jan is how you pronounce it.
Well, he's born in he's a Czechoslovakian American composer.
Okay.
So
probably
Jan is probably
yesterday.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. I'm looking it up. I have the whole series, but I'm not going to go play
it. Yeah, I got a, what do you call it when you take a cut off of a commercial CD and burn it to,
stealing?
I don't think there's another word for it. I can't think of what it is. But I've got that. I've got that in the DVD, as a DVD. In the cars there, I've had it. Kind of like, I like to play that loud, roll the windows down.
all right, so Glenn Frey, what was he on?
I thought that was,
Nash
I thought he was...
Bridges, that's what he was on. I knew he was on a cop show in the 80s, and I couldn't think what it was.
Okay.
You know, it's actually, I watch a lot of cop shows, but I never saw that Nash Bridges. That was with the same guy that played Miami Vice and the Doobie Smoker guy.
He was actually on an episode of Miami Vice.
Was he?
Yeah.
As a drug addict, right?
He played...
What's his name?
Glenn Frey. GLENNFR.
Oh no! I'm not. I'm talking about the guys that were on the series that you talked about. The
oh well, this
series.
Was just one episode, so I don't know what he played. But he was on. Why he was a? What was the one he was on that was a regular on? I didn't remember he was in Jerry Maguire. It was in 7 episodes of Wise Guy. What's the one that he was? Actor. No, that's not what I wanted. Anyway. Yeah. He was in Jerry Maguire, Thunder Force, In America. Anyway. He was in the Eagles. Oh, there's Charlie. I wonder how long he's been waiting, and I didn't see it until just now. Sorry if I kept you waiting, Charlie. I was
looking not up, very long.
I was looking up
20
Glenn
minutes.
Frey.
It's okay.
I got you as fast as I could.
Must have been a long day doing umpiring.
Yep.
All right, well, Wayne and I have been talking about soundtracks and greatest hits albums that we've had in some form, CD or vinyl or cassette or 8-track or whatever. What about you?
I don't usually get greatest hits because I've got every other album that the artist did, so I don't need the greatest hits.
What about soundtracks?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of soundtracks. I love soundtracks.
So what soundtracks do you have?
Mary Poppins.
The soundtrack. Oh, I'm sorry. You in it?
No, I was teasing. Mary Poppins.
That's a good soundtrack.
It is a good soundtrack.
I do have Mary Poppins, and I have My Fair Lady, and I've got The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, 2001, A Space Odyssey,
all the old ones.
All
before
my
time.
How about the Blues Brothers?
I never got the Blues Brothers soundtrack. That's all on YouTube anyway. So
yeah, I've got. Well, I don't have anything anymore. We got rid of all of our CDs and all of our vinyl and all that. But so it's all digital. But at one point, I had the soundtrack for the Blues Brothers and for the Blues Brothers movies. I had the Blues Brothers album. I had the Blues Brothers 2000 movie soundtrack.
Yep, I've got Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, we had that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And Godspell, too.
Yeah.
I was saying I had Practical Magic and Gross Point Blank because they were such good soundtracks. And at the beginning of the movie, they promoted them and said who all was on them. I was like, okay, cool. I get the soundtrack.
Oh, Easy Rider. I got the soundtrack to Easy Rider.
How about Live and Let Die?
I've got the song, but I don't have the soundtrack. I've got every James Bond movie, so I have the soundtrack. Just watch the movie.
Yeah. Well, I had the soundtrack to a couple of movies that I had on DVD because I wanted to listen to the music in the car.
Yep.
Especially back when I had a long commute in heavy traffic. And Dallas traffic.
Yeah, I've always had a bunch of either cassette tapes or DVDs or whatever that I was playing in the car. Because it was an hour and a half one way to drive from my house in the hill country out to downtown Austin to the comptroller's office. Did that for 20 years.
Why'd you live so far away?
Because it was cheaper out there. I couldn't afford a house inside Austin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we all do. That's why I'm in Denton. You know, compromise, the reason we built the house in the colony was because David worked in Denton and I worked in North Dallas. And so the colony was midway, but it was still a good 45-minute drive and bad traffic.
The colony sounds like a Jim Jones commute.
It does, doesn't it?
I always think when you say the colony, you know, it doesn't sound like a city or an area. It sounds like
it really
something in Jim with Jim Jones.
It sounds like a horror movie.
Yes.
It's like the location of a horror
That's
movie.
That's where Kool-Aid was invented, right?
The colony. Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of ridiculous. It was just, you know, Fox and Jacobs bought a bunch of land on the outskirts of DFW. It's now solidly in the Metroplex. But back then, there wasn't. And they just built a bunch of cheap houses. And so that's why the colony exists.
There are a bunch of Fox and Jacobs communities around Austin. They built about a bunch of houses.
Yep.
Subdivisions.
Mm-hmm. And there's, what was the guy that Trump had in his administration for a short period
of time? Oh, Pulte? Whatever.
Pulte is one of the crappiest builders in Texas. I mean, especially North Texas. When I was a realtor, you just, actually, when we were looking for a builder, when we were going to build our home in the colony, or that's where we settled on anyway, we had a couple of people advising us that said, absolutely, do not get a Pulte home.
Funny thing about that, I got the same advice.
Yeah, they were crap. And that guy was in the Trump administration because, of course, he was.
Yeah.
Oh, because they're just crooks. The whole administration is nothing but crooks. Incompetent crooks.
Yep.
Idiot crooks.
What about Trump, though? You were talking about the colony and your house that you didn't get built by this contractor.
Yeah. No, I got Ryland Homes is who built our house in the colony. It was a nice house.
You know, the interesting thing is you bring that up. I have the original brochure from the house I live in because my parents owned it before me, and they kept it, which all the neighbors that move in want to see it, and they show it to them. But it must have the name of the builder on it. I've never paid that close of attention.
Oh, wow.
I really don't know. I mean, they're solid built houses, but, you know.
The house I grew up in, my parents built, and they were the contractors. And Mom hired an architect and had them situated on the house so they didn't have to cut down any on the land, so they wouldn't have to cut down trees. It was a pretty good sized house, too. But, yeah, so she didn't have a builder, but we definitely had a builder. And it, you had, like, a certain set of bricks you'd pick from, and you'd, different paint colors you could pick from, and different flooring you could pick from.
Right.
Yeah, we had to do that for the first house we bought, and it just drove me crazy because my wife kept changing her mind.
David would go by after work while they were building it and check on it. But the best thing was the project manager for the site, the builder guy who was managing the building of it. He would go and check every day. And he would, like, when we would go and check the property, he would show us where, here they messed up here, I made them fix this, and I had them fix that. He would just tell us all the things that, you know, if there was something. But because we were going by every day when they were building, like, we caught them laying the wrong tile floor.
Ooh. Yeah.
It was similar to the tile we picked out, but it was the wrong one. You know.
Maybe they had trouble getting the one that you wanted.
No, they just had the tile for a different house. And
so they said, well, let's use this, and they won't notice.
No, they just didn't know. It looked, because it was so similar, that they got the tile for another house in the same subdivision. Wow. And so they just mixed it up.
You know, I mentioned last night that I had a DVD of Oscar De La Hoya singing.
Yeah.
EMI sponsor. He actually was born in Los Angeles. So, yeah, there's an album of his. You can get it on, you can hear it on Spotify, you can hear it on Apple Music, stuff like that. So, I don't know what I did with all my DVDs, to tell you the truth. I mean, my CDs, to tell you the truth. I transferred some of my CDs to my Apple Music, but in the transition of moving from my iPhone 7 to my iPhone 11, half my music disappeared, and by then I couldn't find CDs anymore, so.
Yeah, I had a bunch of stuff that was on Apple, on iTunes at one point on my computer, and then went to Google Music and YouTube Music, and I don't know, had a bunch of them burned onto, you know, drives, but
right.
Basically a digital form.
I must have 100 CDs of my music from my LPs that I recorded onto CDs, so that every track is a track that I love. I don't have to listen to any garbage music. Yep. Just listen to that. And now I can't play it anymore because I don't have a CD player in my car.
Maybe I'll send you a CD player that you can plug in with Bluetooth. I bet they have them.
I'm sure they do. But I just
send you a new car with it.
I use YouTube on my phone.
Just upload them to your, you know, YouTube Music, and
yeah,
yep.
put it all on the same folder.
Well, he has an iPhone like I do, and so he can.
Yeah, you can put it all on put it all on iTunes.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think of all those hundreds and hundreds of hours I spent recording.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've gotten rid of most of them. I'm looking. There is a little stack here. I've got the remains of Tom Lehrer, which is just everything Tom Lehrer ever recorded, live or studio, including a couple of songs from the Electric Company. Watching those reactions to Electric Company and those little AI videos about Electric Company, I had no idea. First of all, Bill Cosby, Morgan Freeman, Rita Moreno. What the fuck? That is an unbelievable cast.
Yeah.
And that was Electric. That was children's television in the 70s. Morgan Freeman, the voice of God.
Yep.
Hey, my drink has the same color cap as yours, Charlie.
I use
them for water bottles afterwards.
Yeah.
So don't, Gatorade,
I won't cramp up tonight.
Good boy. You tend to cramp up a lot after the game or during?
I never during the game. It's always after the game. I'm trying to wind down my muscles.
Yeah. It's you probably lack of electrolytes that you sweat it out.
Yeah.
You also could just be dehydrated.
Yeah, I'm definitely dehydrated. That's why I have to drink that. So, yeah.
Well, you're my size. You drink a gallon of water a day and you're still dehydrated.
Yeah. Well, you go out there when it's 103 for 4 hours, and you'll definitely get dehydrated no matter how much water you drink.
I'll bet.
That's true.
Bet.
Well, I was going to this hypnosis weight loss clinic, and he had a formula which I think is pretty good. You take your weight, convert it to ounces, and then cut it in half, and that's how many ounces you should drink. And I think that's pretty good because then it's based on your weight. So, you know, Alan, you're going to need more than Wayne's going to need, right? So that, to me, made sense. It seemed like a pretty good formula.
Half my weight in water? Are you kidding?
In ounces.
In ounces.
In ounces.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
So half your weight. In ounces of water.
300 divided by how many ounces? 16?
Is it three?
I weigh 300 pounds.
300. So you divide that in half. That's 150. So you need 150 ounces.
Jeez.
And so...
That's pretty close to what my doctor, he says 128, which is a gallon. So that's pretty close.
Right. So, yeah. So it works out pretty well because, you know, a teeny weeny person does not need the same amount as a great big person.
Well, unless you really like going to the bathroom a lot. You know?
Yeah.
Well, you can get too much water and that can be a problem too.
Yeah, you can actually, you can OD on water.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
Oh, well, we are out of time, folks.
Oh, wow. Well, I got it right.
Everybody did.
Yeah.
So I want to thank Alan especially for getting here, being the first one here. So I had somebody to talk to. And I want to thank Wayne and Charlie for joining me again. Have a great weekend. Remember, get registered, get informed, get politically active, and go vote. If you don't have anything nice to say, come sit by me.